The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 podcast.
Hour 2 underway, and if it's anything like Hour number 1, wow, that was quite a choice hour. We'll talk to Daniel Libet, and he's written really an extraordinary piece. Not really, it is an extraordinary piece in Sportico about Kevin Warren. Bruce Feldman later on live from Indianapolis. Let's get back to the calls here and talk to Michael, who is up next. Hey, Michael.
Good afternoon, Paul. Got a quick question for you with this Jeremy Pruitt fiasco.
Yes.
What about the players involved? Are they going to get off scot-free?
You know, I suspect some have been dealt with. If you remember the number of players who fled that program was enormous. And I don't – there are too many to even know what and where the allegations were. But I suspect they will, yes.
Okay. John Adams had a great quote in today's Knoxville News Sentinel about Pruitt and his wedding vows. He said when Pruitt got married, he told his wife, he said, "I won't cheat on you, but I will cheat with you."
Oh, my goodness.
I thought that was very appropriate.
Yeah, that's why John Adams has always been a legend in my mind. So that is fantastic. Thank you very much. That's what when, you know, these things go on in time. When we remember this recruiting situation, we are going to remember Jeremy Pruitt, his second wife, doing what she did. Now, it's the fact that she was a compliance officer previously just makes that even more extraordinary. Let's continue. Joe in Auburn is up next.
Hey, Paul. How's it going, buddy?
Joe, how are you?
Good, man. I just wanted to get your opinion on how far you think Auburn's going to go this year.
You know where the predictions are. I think I mentioned this yesterday, but Danny Sheridan came out with some odds the other day that he really liked Auburn a lot more than the experts so far have put them. I don't know. I'll have to double check with him about the exact number. But I think perceptively they're not going to fare well. I expect them right now. I think they might beat Penn State. So that's the key game of the year. If they can beat Penn State in the third game, then they have a chance to go into the Georgia game, the Georgia game undefeated. That would be a big boost for them. If they toss away, they have Missouri. So the schedule is Mercer, San Jose State, Penn State, Missouri, LSU. I mean, you could make an argument that they will be 5-0 going into Georgia. If they're not 5-0. Then problems start because they could easily lose Georgia, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Mississippi State, A&M, and Alabama, and the season crashes and burns.
Right. Personally, you know, I'm an Auburn fan, and like I agree with you. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for taking my call. I'll see you later.
Thank you very, very much. Yeah. Here's another problem that Brian Harsin has. Knowing the way things operate down there, and they're pretty dubious. Should he lose to Penn State and then drops one of the next two, it could get away from him very quickly. And you know, suddenly he has three losses in the first half of the season with that Ole Miss, State, A&M, Alabama down the stretch. Then his chances start to diminish greatly. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Grace is up next in Texas. Hello, Grace.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Sorry, you totally caught me off guard. Also, your two callers ago was really funny, and I was laughing my head off. So. Anyways, I have a survey question that I have going on my Twitter right now.
Oh,
and
sure.
It's about, I just don't have that many callers, I mean, that many votes, so I need more votes. So anyways, this is about women's sports, and I was just curious, what is your favorite women's sport to watch and why?
My favorite women's sport to watch would be basketball, because I think it's in some ways a better game. I think it's better than the men's game. There's tremendous coaching that goes into it. The athleticism is superb. The technique and the fundamentals are better because you can see the coaching, where in men's college basketball sometimes it becomes too much freewheeling and too much gimmickry above the rim. So I really John Wooden once said that many, many years ago, the legendary coach at UCLA, that the women's game is really more emblematic of what the men's game was supposed to be.
Interesting. So far, basketball and gymnastics are like neck and neck.
Gymnastics is a great sport, and I was friends with a gymnast many, many years ago, so I got a great appreciation to the difficulties of that sport, and I've been around it. And I've been friends with Sarah Patterson for many years, the legendary Alabama coach, and have learned most of what I know from my friend and from her. But I appreciate your call very much, Grace. Thank you. Miss Fay is in Virginia. Hello, Miss Fay.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Great. I tell you, I really enjoyed you giving it to AC.
Thank you.
I tell you, that man is something else. Thank you so much for doing that. And I'd like you to know that I'm one of Jim's people, and I'd like to see him put back on the Ring of Honor. Or whatever it's called.
You know, I agree with you on that. I'm gonna see if Jim would consent to letting us put him back.
I think that'd be wonderful.
I mean, it's like having a Hall of Fame without Barry. No, that's not a good example.
Well, it wouldn't be right to have it without Tammy, and she's gonna be there forever.
Yeah, so I think when no matter where I go. Jim becomes part of the tapestry of this show, so we are going to we're going to put you in charge, Miss Fay, of the get Jim back in the Hall of Fame contention committee. Okay.
Thank you, sweetie. I have one other question to ask you. A couple of days ago, Jim was called in. Was that called that day because he was wonderful that day? Didn't give any hard problems to anyone, or was that a pass? Call. I missed that.
No, that was yesterday. That was the artist known as Jim.
What, didn't he sound good?
Yeah, well, you know, I think Jim just has a lot of pressure on him. He's got a lot going on in his life, and sometimes it happens to me. You heard it in that call with AC. I finally had enough of the guy.
I guess so. Well, I love Jim, and I love his calls, and I want him to call in more often. He hasn't been calling so much lately.
Well, again, I don't think people realize that Jim has a lot going. You know, he's a very busy person, and this is not the only thing that he does. I mean, this is the only thing I do. So, yeah, I'm here every day. Well, Ms. Faye, thank you very, very much. Let's see if we can get Jim on the air here.
I wanted to get on Miss Faye. I love that lady. I really love her. She's such a wonderful lady. I talked to her off air. And, Paul, sure, I totally consent. The only reason I got mad at you and was, you know, that day that I got mad and said stick it was because you and Legion were saying, or you let him say that, and I'm just telling how it is, that anybody that doesn't show up shouldn't be allowed to win the award, and I thought that was obnoxious.
Well, I'm glad we have moved on from that. So with Jim's agreement, we are going to slip him back in contention. He's almost a surefire first-round ballot. So, Jim, thank you for doing that. That means a lot.
Well, let me tell you something, Paul. I have never heard you better than when you addressed AC with what you said to him. Man, you sounded like presidential stuff there, man. I'm serious. I've never quite seen you that adamant and that effective and that authoritative toward anybody, anywhere, anytime. That was good stuff, Paul. I'm telling you,
Jim,
that was good
you
stuff.
Know, I don't mind the going back and forth, but when a punk like that comes in here and makes threats, not acceptable.
Right.
Not acceptable.
You know, he's such a loser that – He could be a problem because anybody as big a loser as he is, if you were to cut him off on the show, I don't know what he'd do. This guy seeks fame. I mean, he seeks attention. That's what he's seeking. And the only way he can get it is call somebody names, you know, like so many others in this country do that. But he's just really sick, Paul. The guy's sick.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So I've talked to the backroom guys. Jim, you're going to be slid back into the to the Hall of Fame consideration, and I'm not letting you out of it. You're stuck in there. You're
oh, no. That, I explained what happened. You know, that's exactly what happened, and that's why I got mad. I called and said what I said, but it was only a few seconds after you and Legion had after he especially had said that. And I, you know, he's a problem to me, but I'm not going, as you said, I'm not getting into it anymore. I'm going to leave that alone.
Well, that is great to hear. Jim, thank you. We're up against a break. We have a special guest, Daniel Libet, coming up, this major takeout of Kevin Warren of the Big Ten coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. The headline in Sportico, Kevin Warren's Big Ten revival was more fraught than you know. It's one of the most comprehensive pieces ever written on college athletics at a critical time, as Kevin Warren really has become, in many ways, one of the biggest faces and most important faces in college athletics. You heard him earlier today at Big Ten Media Days. Daniel Libet joining us. Daniel, first of all, we don't have the time today, but one day I would love to hear the backstory on the time and approach you had to this story, because it was simply extraordinary. Good afternoon.
Well, thank you so much, Paul. I appreciate it. I got to tell you, right across from the Big Ten headquarters on one side of the street is O'Hare Airport in Chicago, and on the other side of the street is this terrific outlet mall. So that might give you an indication of what kept making me go back and to Rosemont, Illinois.
So Kevin Warren's a very controversial figure, the way he handled COVID and all these other things that were bubbling over. But you dug deep. When you start a story like this, certainly you know you want to glean as much information and paint a picture. But I would think as in-depth as this is and as intricate, you had to open up a lot of doors and find skeletons crashing toward your head. How do you dive into something like this, and what kind of cooperation do you get from the subject?
Well, eventually I got pretty good cooperation. I think I sat down with Kevin 2 or 3 times. I think I interviewed him a total of 4 or 5 for the story. So he was game to chat and answered more or less all the questions I had for him over the course of the interviews. I was tipped to this story about 10 months ago by a source who said that for all of the drama that was in plain view, you know, the return to play, the decision to pause on account of COVID, the Nebraska players' lawsuit, the protests by the Big Ten parents outside of the headquarters, the involvement of former President Trump, all of these things that were very evident in public at the time, that there was this whole other story, this whole other drama that was playing out behind the scenes, and it was almost as consuming and problematic and treacherous as anything that he was dealing with publicly. And a lot of it had to do with his effort to try to put his stamp on the Big Ten. Here was a guy who had been in the NFL for a number of years, who had just come from his job as chief operating officer of the Minnesota Vikings, and came to the Big Ten and saw it as a organization that in one way had been at the forefront of college athletics with the creation of the Big Ten Network, had a lot of money, next to the SEC, the two, you know, real super conferences that had already emerged. But in other ways, and this is not just unique to the Big Ten, had a very small time quality too. It has, you know, 50, 60 employees. There was aspects of it that were kind of trapped back in the 1990s. There were things that had been ignored at the organizational level. And Warren perceived these to be problems and potential threats of an organization where, you know, $700 million plus already flows through in an annual basis, that this should be a much more professionalized organization. And so unlike Jim Delaney and other conference commissioners in the past, he focused both on the big picture and then really on the nitty gritty and on trying to sort of turn this into the sort of business that he thought it ought to be at this place. And in many instances, especially as he was dealing with all this other public drama and issues about the sort of the survival of the conference amid COVID, he was, you know, he was trying to search for landmines within the conference. And in doing that, arguably, you know, some of his efforts really created headaches on their own. And that's sort of what the story is about. It's the behind the scenes of the staff at the staff level of the Big Ten over the last 2 years. And it was full of drama, to put it charitably.
And for those who don't know the backstory, Kevin Warren, you know, has a law degree from Notre Dame. He got his start in the industry working with Mike Slive in a boutique law firm representing schools against the NCAA. He became a protege, interestingly enough, of Slive, and remained very close friends with the SEC commissioner until his death. And then he gets this job. By the way, his son also played briefly at Mississippi State. And
that's right.
He gets this job, and it just appeared to me, Daniel, that he was dead set on I'm becoming the smartest guy in the room. And almost the reverse happened during COVID when he got exposed. And you deal with that so extensively. I mean, just the passages alone about the calls from the White House and where Kevin Warren was during all that is, you know, reads like, you know, some dystopian novel. It's truly remarkable. I know we don't have the time to go through all of it, but just give us a snapshot of that episode.
Yeah, well, sure. So, you know, and there's been reporting. The New York Times Magazine did a big long story about a year past about the behind the scenes of the decision to return to play and the original decision to cancel. So it's well known by now that, you know, there was a call from the White House to Kevin Warren at the point in time where the announcement had been made that the Big Ten was going to cancel or at least postpone the football season going into the fall of 2020. And that President Trump at that point was trying to prevail upon him to resume the season and see if the White House could offer assistance in the form of interceding and getting the conference the necessary kinds of PCR tests that it would require in order to get football players on the field. And so one of the moments in which Kevin Warren was called by he had two phone calls with Donald Trump. The first was when he was scheduled for his twice a year annual physical, which Warren tells me he dutifully attends to. He's a something of a health nut and worries about his well-being, so he makes sure to go to his executive physical twice a year, and it's very elaborate kind of full body exam. And he was in the middle of gowning up to get into this this machine called a bod pod, which is supposed to very accurately measure your body mass index, when he was told then that following their call earlier that day, that President Trump had tweeted out the news that they had a very productive conversation and that the football season was soon to resume. I think Trump put it that it was on the 1 yard line of returning, which it was not at that point, and it caused a massive freakout at the Big Ten. How do we respond to this? It interrupted his executive physical. that he was in. It was one of the scenes of him sort of in this hair on fire moment. He's very calm. And this is one of the things that even his critics note, sometimes criticize, is that, you know, through all of this, he sort of has this even keel to him. That was one of the moments perhaps where he wasn't in his most even keel. But yeah, it was you know, and some of this is all, you know, part of the story that has gotten some public attention. But, you know, what I really honed in on were a lot of the staff decisions that he had made. He felt that the Big Ten at that point was the only power conference that did not have its own in-house general counsel. And he thought that the world that we live in, especially in college sports, was becoming increasingly litigious. The Big Ten was already in a concussion lawsuit. There was all the lawsuits against the NCAA. And Warren thought it was very important to hire an in-house counsel, and which I think on paper makes sense. But as with other things that he has done so far, the effort to create this position and fulfill it created this whole separate drama based on who he was hiring, how they fared with other employees. You know, so he is now, you know, 3.5 years into the job, and he just hired his third general counsel. So, you know, for those who saw him as misguided in his approach and that he was focused on the wrong things, they point to this effort he has had, for example, to hire an in-house counsel and his failure to find somebody that would sustain for more than a year at a time as an example of him just not having his hand on the pulse of the conference. And, you know, look, you could make the case that he was the unluckiest college commissioner when he came in without any experience. And then about 70 days in, COVID cancels, you know, college basketball at that point and really turns the world on its head. That was very unlucky, no doubt. It was much luckier for Jim Delaney to have retired before that had happened. And on the flip side, you can look now with news last month about USC and UCLA coming into the Big Ten Conference, really coming over the transom as, you know, the luckiest possible thing that could have happened to him. And now he's right on the precipice of signing this massive multimedia rights deal that will be larger than the SEC's and everybody else's. That seems to be assured. And the question is how much of that is him and what he's doing, and how much of that is luck and just the fact that he's in the seat when, you know, these good things are happening to the Big Ten.
And Daniel, just another second or two, but it just seems like he almost lost it all, though. And I want to let me stop here. I don't want to rush this. This is too important. Daniel Libet from Sportico. A couple more minutes on his amazing takeout. I think that's right, not takedown, but takeout of Kevin.
Yeah.
Takeout of Kevin, both of Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner. We'll come back and finish this in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back talking to Daniel Libet, who's written this piece for Sportico. Daniel, thanks for holding on with us just a minute. So all this happens and things don't go well. And usually a commissioner's best friends are the athletic directors. I think Greg Sankey could make that statement, and so could other. Well, there aren't any really other commissioners right now who have been around more than a week. But ultimately, what happened with the ADs and Kevin Warren, especially early on?
Yeah, well, this was certainly something that his predecessor, Jim Delaney, was credited with, among other things, was that he had a very good relationship over his three decades with the conference athletic directors, many of whom were there with him for a long time. Clearly in the throes of COVID, the relationship between Warren and the Big Ten ADs got very rocky. You had people like then Nebraska athletic director Bill Moose and Ohio State athletic director Gene Smith, who were publicly, quite critical of Warren and the decision-making process for pausing the season, and what they felt was a lack of communication with the athletic directors, a lack of involvement with the athletic directors. You know, as with other conferences, the athletic directors are not the boss of the commissioner; the presidents are. So a conference commissioner can easily believe that who their audience that they're really speaking to is are the university presidents, that they serve as the board of directors for these college conferences. But one of the things that had been credited to Delaney was recognizing, the pragmatic that the athletic directors are usually the boots on the ground. Obviously, they're the ones who are most familiar with the issues that are going on in the athletic conference, and that, bringing them along is essential. And Delaney had done that in the creation of the Big Ten Network. He had done that through all different kinds of moments, crucial moments in the Big Ten's history, preceding Warren. And Warren really, there was a lot of strife with the athletic directors. It got so bad to a point that I reported that there was at least serious thought among the athletic directors to take a no confidence vote or multiple no confidence votes against Warren. I heard two different versions depending on my sources. I heard that these votes were taken, or I also heard that they were at least seriously discussed. This wouldn't have been binding, but had this come out, especially at what was the most difficult period of time for Warren, this would have been a huge problem, a huge PR problem at that point, it did not. Word of that didn't leak, but there was just a tremendous amount of almost ill will among some athletic directors in Warren. There was Moose relayed to me this anecdote that he and others got so frustrated on their weekly Zooms with the conference office that they started sort of playing somewhat snarky games where they would tabulate the number of times they heard Kevin Warren say certain kinds of buzz phrases. They thought he was giving them a runaround with corporate speak. So they started just tallying up his use of terms like optics and so forth, maybe as a way of venting or passing the time. But things got very, very bad, and now things have gotten very good. And the question for him is how much of that was learning or growth or being correct, having the right approach, but it just taken a while for people to see, and how much of that is just pure circumstance. Bill Moose gone. So one of his biggest critics among the athletic directors is no longer there. Gene Smith spoke very favorably in my conversations with him about Warren, and he's been publicly very praising of Warren to other media outlets as well. There's been a lot of turnaround among athletic directors and presidents in the Big Ten. So there's a bit of a fresh slate. And again, the news is all great now. Everybody is happier with the commissioner when you're talking about the prospect of a $1 billion-plus multimedia rights deal coming down the pike that's going to really enrich all of the Big Ten schools far more than they are already making. So, you know, that really changes the climate and makes someone's legacy also look a lot different, of course.
Finally, with Daniel Libet of Sportico, Daniel, you just alluded to it. I mean, this is not, some highfalutin academic conversation here. This is a conference that everything is determined by results. Warren, however he ended up with UCLA and USC, and we both have heard multiple stories about where he was and what was he doing when he found that out.
He was in London, yes, with his wife, I think, at an Adele concert. Last I heard on that.
Yeah. wow. There's so much there that I could snicker about, but I'm just going to ask you the final question. In sports, results matter. He got that pulled off. He's going to end up with the biggest television deal in college sports history. Whether he deserves all the credit, some of the credit, or none of the credit, he will get the credit, will he not?
Yeah, I mean, he certainly will. And again, you know, there's it goes both ways. And you know, some terrible luck befell him early on. And you know, the gift that Delaney had always left to his predecessor, because of the way that the Big Ten had structured its most recent media rights deal, which was to specifically come back very nearly after the SEC had done its media rights deal. The Big Ten signed a six-year deal back in 2016-17. That's a uniquely short multimedia rights deal. The SEC's, I believe, is for a decade, which is much more standard. But that enabled the Big Ten to sort of once again claim the high end of what has been this accelerating media rights market. Right after it had signed its last deal, that was a gift. And Warren, knew that all he had to do was survive in the job for 3.5 years, and he would be in the position to be the person to sign that deal. Now, I'm simplifying things. He's worked incredibly hard. He has not hired a multimedia rights consultant to sign this. He's worked in tandem with Fox, which is the cornerstone for this new deal whenever it is finally consummated. But, he's the person in the seat, so he gets the credit. I think in general, you know, especially with the decline of the NCAA, we've seen this with Greg Sankey too. You know, a lot more attention and spotlight is being put on the conferences, and conference commissioners are now trying to figure out and inhabit this new role. And in some cases, you know, they're trying to reestablish themselves and become sorts of leaders that they were not asked to be. Whether or not they succeed in that effort or not is to be determined. But you can kind of see this change in perspective of what is a college conference commissioner supposed to do and be, and what is their mission. Certainly, they're going to get a lot more attention. Certainly what the machinations that happen in these conference offices is going to be a subject of media inquiry in ways that it hadn't been before, because, the NCAA is not what the NCAA used to be. And so the attention shifts to where the money is and where the power is. And that's, you know, at the moment at the SEC and the Big Ten.
So much to think about. Greg Sankey's favorite rocker is Bono. Probably humming Beautiful Day while Kevin Warren's in London with his wife rolling in the deep. Hey, Daniel, thank you so much for everything you have done for us. What an extraordinary story. Be well. Can't wait for the next time.
Thanks so much, Paul. Always great to be with you.
You got it. And if you get a chance, read this piece in Sportico. We are coming back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We have an update. Jim is back in the running. We have written him in back into the Ring of Honor after a very pleasant phone call. So we'll update you more. We're not in a big hurry there. That's stuff that we'll get to in August. But good news, Jim is back. And we are too, and let's check in with Elliot in Ohio.
Hey,
hello.
Paul.
What's up, Elliot?
Paul, thanks for taking my call. Hey, really quick before I get into my topic, what does Kevin Warren and Gene Smith both have in common?
Who? Help me.
They're both Notre Dame grads. I wonder what that means. Hey, question. Here's the deal. Is Heather Dinich said that OSU was going to win the CFP this year, and I think they're going to play Kentucky, and I got a roadmap to that if you got a second.
I may need more than that.
So here's the roadmap. They only need to beat three teams this year because they got held back last year early on by playing Georgia early. So the three teams they got to beat Kiffin. Kiffin's easy. He's focused on NIL money and ZARA money. He's not paying attention. Tennessee, done. Turn them over. They're in trouble. Late season win. Against Georgia, Cinderella win, end late. Now, here's what's good. It's late in the season. They have a chance this year to prepare. Now, you say, well, they got to win the championship for the SEC. We've already proven that it doesn't matter if you win the SEC championship. You still get to go to the playoff.
That's true. Well said. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's check in with Cameron in Orlando. Hello, Cameron.
Hi, Paul, a former athlete of and fellow alumnus like you of our great Vol Nation.
Wonderful. VFL.
Yeah, right? I know you talk about it ad nauseum, Paul, and I was just curious what you genuinely think. I know this Pruitt thing is going to hang over our heads for a little bit. I don't know with what the new deals are with whatnot. It's going to change that. But do you ever see our beloved nation of Vols ever getting back to anything like you and I can remember? I mean, no one wants to go to Lincoln, Nebraska. No one wants to go to the farms in Iowa. With all these new rules, if we can survive this, do we ever have a chance, or are we destined to be a 7-10 win team?
Cameron, I think Tennessee is in a good position right now. I am not overly concerned about the investigation. I think it's mostly baked into the cake right now. Scholarship limitations have already occurred. How much we know about them, we probably don't, but I think it's already happened. And I think the ultimate disposition of the case will be a non-event. The question then becomes not so much Josh Heupel, because I do think you know, he's a very good young coach. It's whether everybody can, and this is a word I hear too much of, but whether everybody on that campus can stay in the same alignment. I know it seems like they are now, but anytime you bring in a new set of people that meshes with an older culture, and that's really what Tennessee football is in many ways in terms of the hierarchy, it doesn't always work out. And I think that's one reason why Tennessee has had so many athletic directors.
That's the problem. I remember calling for Phil Fulmer's head his final year, and then Lane Kiffin shows up, and I go, oh, maybe I wished for something that I didn't really want, and here we go.
Well, but you know what, Cameron, I was one of those who felt like time was up for Philip, It was.
Sure.
He was. It's always easy to go back and say, well, Philip Fulmer shouldn't have been fired and Mac Brown shouldn't have been fired. And look at all
sure,
the. But
sure.
you have to try to stay ahead. And, you know, I was there in Alabama when there were those who were upset that Mike Shula got fired. Well, you ended up getting Nick Saban. That's what you want. You want that next guy who ends up turning your franchise completely around. Let's take a break. More to come, more of your phone calls. Bruce Feldman in the next hour. We are coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.